This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
An episode on a Tuesday?
I know. On a Tuesday? Sad.
What are we doing here?
Oh my gosh. Finally, we're back at it. Matt's gotten over his whole, you know, cancer thing, derailing his whole schedule and calendar, and now we can come back to our favorite little part of the show.
I feel like we really needed to get back to this because I want to get you on record saying more negative things about Taylor Swift. That's the main reason why I'm back to that. That's what I think will probably cure what's left of the cancer in my body.
Yeah, that's
what is going to get me back.
Doctors.
So if you could say Taylor Swift is a bad person and can't sing and wrote none of her
songs on the record, that'd be great. Never.
If you could say a man should be responsible for all of her success, that'd be great.
You know what? Never mind. We don't need to do this. Let's just meet back Thursday. It's fine.
No. I feel like the story that we need to talk about, which is one that I think you have been waiting for so years, yeah. And I can only imagine the glee that the evil grin that crossed your face when you realized that Justin Timberlake had been arrested for a DUI, and then the incredible, the tour is canceled. What tour?
No, the world tour.
My gosh, amazing.
No, honestly, ACAB, except for the 22-year-old who arrested him and didn't know who he was. Like, that, he gets a pass, okay? Because that's just iconic behavior and hysterical and exactly what Justin Timberlake needed. So, respect to that officer. Thank you for your service and protection.
Do you want to run us down this story on how this happened?
I don't even know it for real. I know the meme. So he was caught drunk driving in the Hamptons, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was arrested for drunk driving. The person who arrested him didn't know or recognize him. He made that hilarious comment and he was marched out in handcuffs. I mean, there's not really more to say. That's the sum of it. I mean, I don't even know if he's been charged or anything.
I'm telling you, that NSYNC reunion, it's getting closer and closer every day.
No, now I'm going to be like, ugh. Like, ugh. No thanks, JT. We'll do this without you.
I mean, I hope JC pulls a Kim Cattrall and is like, you know what? Gosh. No, I'm actually fine. I don't need to be involved with this.
Yeah. Ugh. No, he looks,
Justin.
He looks bad. He looks, you know, he showed up. It was rough. I think he...
The memes have been everything.
Yeah.
Because the Britney Spears fans who have it out for Justin Timberlake, as they should, have been making a habit this year of bumping up these like old songs from Britney Spears on the charts whenever something happens with Justin Timberlake. Like, he had a song that was a certain title earlier this year. So when that came out, they bumped up Britney's song that had the same title to a higher mark, but this week they got Criminal by Britney Spears charting again after Justin Timberlake was arrested, which was very funny. Also, I love the meme that's his mugshot, and then it's that Taylor Swift or the Britney Spears like slow turnaround and smile thing from her concerts way back when. Do you know the video I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where she's like walking up the stairs and then she turns around and she smiles. Yeah. Iconic.
No, there's a lot. I mean, it's funny because he's obviously on damage control. And somehow the bartender came out and was like, he really only did have one martini. And it's like, okay, like, settle down. Who cares?
Yeah, they really scrounged up that guy.
He's struggling. He's not, you know, he says it was really cruel. He didn't say. His sources say he was surprised by the cruel response. But yeah, it's just kind of, you know, you have to take the little delights with those karmic recalibrations. His life is not over. He's went on to perform like that same weekend. His tour thus far has not been impacted. So he'll be fine, you know.
Is his tour sold out?
No, I don't think sold out. I mean, okay. I guess I shouldn't assume. I haven't looked at it. I would just be shocked personally, because did his album make any sort of impact whatsoever?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But in my world, there has really only been one album that has been making any impact of as of the past like month or so, mm-hmm. which I... There is a news item attached to this, but I think before we get to that, we should just talk about it in a larger sense, which is Brat.
Okay.
It's Brat summer. Is Brat as big of a deal in the married with children community of Los Angeles as it is in single gay New York land?
You know, I just don't know how to even compare those apples and oranges. But yeah, I listened to it. I mean, I've been a Charlie XCX fan since Fault in Our Stars, speaking of.
Yes.
You know?
Boom, clap. My origin story as a cancer patient.
Yeah, exactly.
Little did I know.
And so I put it on. I definitely, like, it's not necessarily, like, something, like, I definitely feel aged out, maybe, where I'm like, okay, I don't need full club music at any given time of the day, but there's definitely some bops on there. I like Talk Talk. And... 360, I think.
360, so good. Yeah. I love Apple.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you're probably not listening to club classics and back to back over and over again. But no, the album is great. But I think that the most interesting thing has been this rollout that it's had, which has been very strong and impressive. But the most interesting part was this song on the album called "Girl So Confusing." That's Charlie talking about some sort of like friend acquaintance that she has that she feels that she has like a relationship with, and sometimes they go out to dinner, but she feels really insecure around her. She's not really sure like how to read the other girl. And the song came out on the album and everyone was like, wait, we think this might be about Lord, because there's a line in the song about how she and Lord have the, or she and this person that she's talking about, this other pop star, have the similar hair. And so they're like, okay, well, it must be Lord, because that seems to be the only person who has the same hair, I guess. And so then everybody's like, oh my gosh, like Charlie has beef with Lord. Like they're fighting. They used to be friends. Now they're not friends anymore. But then Lord showed up at one of her like release parties or concerts or something. And people were like, well, wait, so then maybe this song isn't about Lord, because why is Lord here if Charlie has beef with her? And then in an incredible publicity move, they released a remix that Lord is on, and Lord is sort of giving like a response to this verse that Charlie wrote. And it's just all about like how you're in your head and you're like misreading what the other person is saying, and how you're like friends with each other, but somehow you get into this like crazy negative headspace. And you just sort of need to tell the other person sometimes and like reconfirm that you actually do both really like each other. Mm-hmm. And the song is so good and the remix is so good. And it's just such like a powerful song, I thought. And I really liked how like honest and sort of guttural it is. And I also liked that they trolled all of these news outlets who were like, oh my gosh, Charlie and Lord have beef. And it's like, no, actually they don't. The entire time they were working together behind the scenes and fooling us all.
Yeah. Corporate synergy, you know, they're just women supporting women.
Women
in STEM,
women.
Honestly.
Women in STEM.
Yeah.
Women in hyperpop. Women in solar power.
Yeah, yeah. They're blowing minds and mending hearts. So I'm proud of them.
Did you like the remix?
I didn't realize the backstory until this very moment. So
oh,
I'll
really?
Have to, like, listen to it again. I had like seen rumblings. Listen, I've been out of practice of being in the pop culture news because we haven't been doing our pop culture roundup.
Wow,
so.
Okay, blame me, blame me. Got it.
I've been zoned out, but no, I did see, I like listened to it. I just wasn't invested in it.
Did you like it? I've been listening to it nonstop. I'm like, we got to get this number one.
Oh, cute. I love that. A man with a mission. Look at you.
I love this album. It's like, I loved a lot of the albums that have come out so far this year.
Yeah, it's been a good
like,
year.
I loved Cowboy Carter, obviously. Mm-hmm. But Brat is so good. Yeah. And I feel like Brat is the album of the summer. I have tickets to go on a Brat themed gay boat party in July. So let's hope that I feel up to that. And also I have tickets to the Charlie XCX Troy Sivan concert when it comes to New York in November, which I had to like pay an arm and a leg to get these tickets, but apparently the only place it's sold out is New York and LA, and every place else the tickets are dirt cheap. So I'm like, maybe I should sell these and just like take a vacation to Indianapolis and get like floor tickets for $12. But
you should, you know, support the small towns. Bring your
business. You want to go on a vacation with me?
Yeah, no, I don't know if Indianapolis is calling my name in the same
way.
Well,
I mean, we have lots of cities to choose
lots
from.
Lots of options, yeah.
Yes. We could go to Des Moines. We could go to, yeah. We could probably honestly go back to Houston. there's places. Salt Lake City. Yeah. I can't imagine that she's sold out
well.
There.
Like, I mean, I feel like all concerts now are just so expensive and so hard to get tickets to, but
yeah, but the New York one was like sold out in 3 seconds. I got like nosebleedy seats for like $130. And I think there's like four floor seats for like 60 at most of these venues. So
my goal is to get Sabrina Carpenter tickets. Her pre-sale starts this week and I really want to go, but I feel like it's going to be hard and expensive and I don't know how to feel about that.
I feel like it might not be that bad. I mean, she's obviously like in a big moment right now, but like her album's not even out yet, is it?
No, but that's why that just means there will be this like, there's this, you know, oh, I need to be there. I need to be in the end. I guess we have to make it happen.
I don't have a strong desire to go there, even though I did love Please, Please, Please. So,
no, I know. I think there's a cross section. You know, there's the
yes. I think she's the
straightest of the pop girlies.
Yes, yeah. yes. That's true.
Like if Chapel Roan was doing a tour, I'd be fighting for those.
Chapel
too.
No, and I do have tickets to see Chapel Roan. Aww. I don't know how I got so lucky, but there is Forest Hills is the best concert venue in New York. It's like an old tennis court that they convert into a concert. It's outdoors. It's deep in Queens and it's not that big. I saw Maggie Rogers there last summer. Incredible. They're doing like a 2-day festival there, but there's only one stage, so you get to see everybody. Okay. And the lineup is like a lesbian dream. It's Chapel Roan, Muna, Renee Rapp, Holly Humberstone, like all people I love. Yeah. And I got the tickets. I like logged on. I was immediately like through the queue. People were texting me like, I've been in the queue for 40 minutes. I was like, nope, I got the tickets. So easy. I was like, oh, I should have bought like 8 tickets, but instead I only bought 2.
You shouldn't brag.
But no, it was magic. Offensive. Well, because I've literally never had that experience with a concert before.
No, that's awesome. That'll be fun. She's having a great moment. Well deserved.
But then there's a second day of the concert that's like Janelle Monáe and Ethel Kane and a bunch of other people who I don't care as much about. So I'm like, okay, I got to sell those. So if anybody wants the second half of my tickets, let me know.
Yeah, good job. Hustling.
Did you see Chapel Roan on the Jimmy Fallon show where she like gagged him briefly?
Yeah. No, iconic. You know, my greatest point of pride this weekend is I taught Penny Hot to Go. She now will ask for it. She'll be like, play Hot to Go. And I'll be like, you don't have to tell me twice. Cute and ready. So we love that for me.
Yeah. I've loved her for a while. She's so great. And a Midwesterner, famously.
Yes, famously.
Famously.
Big Pony Girl. Okay, well, let's talk about Taylor Swift, okay?
Okay, yes.
So Taylor Swift is on her world tour, and she's in London.
She met the prince.
Yeah, she met the prince, whatever. Don't care about
that. Not Princess Kate, who, like me, has cancer.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind.
Yes, I know, exactly. I'm like, wow, leave the poor woman in her shack somewhere, I'm sure. Well, you're out and about,
yeah.
Gallivanting.
But no, the bigger story is that Travis Kelce made his, I don't know, stage debut. And I have a lot of thoughts about this. Number one, I love a petty queen. I think Taylor Swift is the petty queen. And I think that this is perfect example of it. And maybe how it's not giving in the same way it does when you're a teenager, you know, because it reeks of, like, I don't want to say desperation, but it just to me felt like a little bit like icky, like, okay, you're in your ex-boyfriend's hometown who never wanted to be on like any part of your brand, like very private. And all your songs in this last album are about like how you were caged and like you felt abandoned and like so alone. And it wasn't actually what you wanted in the end, blah, blah, blah. All for processing that. But then to trot out your boyfriend, I don't know how to feel about it. Obviously, a lot of Swifties are like gagged and gaga for it because, oh my gosh, he like scooped her up. Oh my gosh, like that's real love. Like, oh my gosh. But to me, it just feels like even more PR motivated, not in the sense that I think they hate each other and they're not actually dating, but in the sense that they both recognize there's an equal opportunity for profiting off of this beloved, you know, America's sweetheart relationship they find themselves in. And so, I don't know, he was there the whole weekend with most of his family. They were signing their own podcast merch, like, while they were there. It just feels too corporate Barbie to me. Like, it just feels too, like, on the nose, let's rub your nose in it type of brand deal. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it personally.
Yeah, it's getting a little cringy, and I understand like the desire when someone wrongs you to, you know, like why you're upset by that, et cetera, et cetera. And she has had a lot of people who have sort of screwed her over in various capacities in life, and she has written about that and, you know, talked about it and stuff. But at a certain point, it's like, you're an adult, you're in your 30s, you're a billionaire, you have what appears to be like a successful, loving relationship, even if the man is very weird. My only real interaction with him is watching him after the Super Bowl, which was the cringiest thing I've ever seen in my life. But it's just like, let's move on. Like, let's just, like, you have a stadium full of people here. Like, just do the show and be excited about the show rather than trying to, like, get digs in on some, like, poor, random shy man who just, like, didn't want to be, like, a figure in the same way that you wanted him to.
I hear you. I agree. But I also think it's important to note that I've just come to terms that I think this is authentically Taylor. I think she's, you know, she's a little bit...
I don't think it's not authentic. I think is very authentic. I think she's just kind of is definitely a bad person.
No. What I mean is, it's like, I think this is her happy. Like, I think I could read it as like, she's still not over Joe, but I could also read it as she's like so in love with being in love and for having that love be loved that it's like validating every single part of her brain mapped, you know. It's like, it's just like, it has to be the most validating experience of her entire career. And so like, to indulge in it is to just like get those endorphin hits like every single chance she gets. And so, yeah, she'll sing Karma's the Guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to me, because it's like, I think she likes being loved, and there's 70,000 people screaming when she does anything that references Travis. So like, the next natural step is to bring him on stage and like feel even more validated by the swarms of people there to love her.
Not to go back to my Christian upbringing, but this is giving a little bit of like, there's a hole in your heart somewhere, and she's trying to like fill it with various things. And it's kind of like, you just need to like go to therapy and figure yourself out. Like, no number of sales or like getting people or boyfriends or whatever. It's like, you have to be happy with you as yourself, as a person, like in a vacuum. You can't be like trying to fill it up with all of these other things. And I just feel like she does not understand that.
Well, yeah, I think she thinks that if she beats the Beatles records or like longest album number one or whatever, then she will know true happiness and satisfaction. So I don't know how you can argue with that.
And it's like, she's not going to, because she has so many of these records and yet she's still obsessed with them. And this has been another point of contention, I feel like, on the internet as of late, is that Taylor Swift, I don't know how much of this was like actually orchestrated. I don't know how the like production timelines of things work, but there's been a couple of occasions now where other artists who have released albums after Taylor Swift's most recent album have been getting close to number ones or, you know, records of some kind or another. And Taylor Swift has dropped a new version of a song, a new version of an album, a new version of something that's not really anything new, but is just sort of some sort of like extra to mm-hmm. bump her back up. And so she's blocked these various people from achieving number ones. Mm-hmm. First, there was a something with Billie Eilish. Then this happened again with Charlie XCX. And so the internet, who I think were already not necessarily pleased with Taylor Swift, have jumped on this as, oh, she's so obsessed with these records that she's now like purposefully drumming up sort of fake sales in order to block other artists from taking these spots from her. And I don't know how much of that is like, if that is actually happening, or if it just happens to be that these things are coinciding and they, you know, are blocking people's faves. But I do think it again speaks to her weird obsession with records and stuff that she just has so many different versions of all these things, and she's getting people to buy like, you know, 17 vinyl copies of this album that's not even that good of an album by most people's estimation. It's very interesting what's going on, and I do think that her stock is declining in some capacity, which I think will be interesting to watch in the next year or so.
I know you're eager for that. And I know that in some degree, of course, she won't ever be as famous or as liked as she is in this singular moment. But I do think that, like, Billie Eilish was a little more close to call, right? Because Billie Eilish is a star at that level. But like Charlie XCX, all Taylor did was like block her from the UK number one or something. Like, you know, there's a number of gaps there that has to be acknowledged. And I think also the way we hyperfixate on Taylor's hyperfixation is also like a interesting sort of gendered. It's hard to say what is the main cause, because Taylor is such a huge star at this point that you don't really have a parallel with the dude. But it's not like when the Beatles were trashing records, everyone was like, oh, give this a little band a chance too, you know? So on one hand, I like get it. It's like, she doesn't necessarily owe any sort of stop force to like, you know, support the little guy. But it is fascinating to kind of like watch her have to recalibrate her persona in real time to like justify the changes in priorities. You know, someone who went from saying like, I just wanted to write an album like that felt like important to me, and it's not even about anything, like this is all yours now, like I don't care about it anymore type thing, but then actively promoting 31 different variants. It is just like, I think I think something's catching up to her, and whether that you want to see it as like a calculation or a fake, you know, nice girl act or playing the victim or whatever it is, like there's something that's becoming harder for her to manage, because she wants to be like singing Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, where she's like, you guys made me this way. I'm so sad. Like, you could never survive in the asylum you raised me type thing. But then she's also like in Anti-Hero singing like, oh yeah, like I know I'm a bad representative, but like you still love me, right? So I think it's like interesting to watch this part of her career because I'm just, she's having to kind of detangle a lot of these threads that she herself weaved together. And so now you see it in her personal life too, with these relationships where she wanted to say like, oh, I wanted privacy. Oh, like I hate the media. Oh, I don't understand why what I do in my private life is like such public information. But then she trots out her boyfriend on a global stage. And it's just like, yeah, like what are we doing here? Like, what do you want? And like, how are you going to actually own that realistically at this point?
Well, she's so full of contradictions, which I think is a very like human thing, and also why in some ways so many people relate to her and her music.
Yeah,
because it's like, yeah, one minute you can be like, leave me alone, and the next minute you can be like, everybody look at me. And that's not a crazy thing to have happen, but I do think it swings back and forth so much, and that now we have, and at this point in her career it's like we have record of all of these different statements and things that she's said and done because everybody's so hyper fixated on them. I just think for me, it's been interesting to watch like this rollout versus I think like the Midnights stuff, because I think that when Midnights came out, I saw like a ton of people posting about it constantly, like people who are, I know, are Swifties like you, but then just, you know, sort of like random everyday like people. And everybody went to the Eras tour, and everybody had costumes, and you know, it almost felt sort of like the like Barbie in some ways. Like, it was just, whether you liked it or didn't like it or whatever, like everybody was so invested and so interested, and everybody was so positive, and everybody was such a fan. And I felt like I did not see, I mean, I saw backlash from like my, you know, sort of group of people, but I felt like I saw lots and lots of positive sentiments, and then just, you know, this tiny pocket of backlash, where this, I feel like I've seen less positive sentiments, a lot of sort of just like it, like I feel like this album sort of like came and went in a lot of ways with like the general public. Like, it came out, people listened to it, but I'm not seeing people like quoting it and talking about it, I feel like, in the same way that Midnights was, or even some of the like re-releases. And then I'm also seeing a lot more memes, I think, about her, and like there's a lot of the like private jet memes that are still like floating around.
That's your algorithm.
Well, yes, but it's like I didn't see them before, and it was always my algorithm.
I think
there's something happening.
I know, but you've been saying that for like years now.
Well, and I'll be right one of these times. One day.
Yeah. No,
because it did happen.
There are millions of people still buying the album, and that can't be narrowed down to just like the core thousand.
No, definitely not. But I just think that the peak has.
Yeah.
I think the peak was ready for the last
downhill.
Yes. And not saying that it's going to be steep, and not saying that we're headed for a Justin Timberlake like situation. But what I'm interested to see is how Taylor Swift responds to that, because I don't think that if, you know, whatever her next album is or whatever doesn't perform as well as this one did, or as like, if it appears to be that there is a trend of her becoming less relevant or popular or whatever, whether it's something big or just sort of like petering off, I'm interested to see how she responds to that.
Me too. Yeah, we'll get another documentary for sure. But
right, no, exactly, and that's what I'm saying.
In the meantime, it was like a who's who at the Eras Tour. I don't know why they were all in London, but like Tom Cruise was there, Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, that was baffling to me.
Obviously, Nicola Coughlan, the hot priest,
Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Yeah,
like there was just so many people there. It was almost like I've never seen the VIP tent packed that much. It looked almost miserable. But and then there was Prince William, of course, so congrats to him.
I mean, I guess it's been like off for a bit, so then like anybody who sort of missed it in the US,
yeah,
like this is the one to go to.
Yeah,
I don't know. Interesting. Those are really, I feel like this was a, we've had a lot of pop star news as of late. Beyonce is supposedly is going on tour, but nothing concrete has happened with that. Trying to think if there's any other pop girlies we need to discuss or any other news.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Love it or hate it?
Oh, yes. You go first.
I can go first. So I watched, so I've been on a journey watching all of Sex and the City, which I love, big fan. I just watched the first movie last night, which is 2.5 hours long, which feels sort of ridiculous, but was so good. Like, I dare I say a perfect movie in connection to a TV show. Like, I think that they, I can see why after watching that, why we have gotten so many movies that are connected to TV shows and why so many of them are bad. Because I think that this was executed really well and it, in that it was a movie, but it was really like sort of an extended, like, you know, like mini kind of season of the show almost. And it did everything that you wanted the show to. And it gave you, it like gave you everything you needed. And it was like, is it cheesy? Yes. Like, is it sort of, I don't know, doing some weird things at various points? Like, absolutely. But in the same way that the show is. And it reminded me a lot of the Downton Abbey movies, because I think that they also execute that well of like, okay, it's a movie, it's not the TV show, but we're basically going to give you the TV show in a movie format and you're going to like it. Where something like that Sopranos movie that came out a couple years ago, or I think the Breaking Bad movie didn't do very well. Like, there's other ones that just haven't nailed the formula, but I really love the first Sex and the City movie. Supposedly the second one is terrible. I'm excited to watch it. It is also 2.5 hours long. Which is also wild, but
so now I'm that psyched. You've watched it all, how do you feel about the falling out with Samantha?
With so,
whose side are you on?
I mean, I think I sort of have to be on Kim Cattrall's side, just because I think Sarah Jessica Parker does sort of seem like an annoying person to work with, and I like. I think that I also have the inclination of, like, if there's somebody who I don't like or something that where I'm just like, okay, like, then I'm just not going to do this. Like, you can, I'm not going to try to, like, get in a big fight with you. I'm just going to be like, I'm done. Like, I don't need to do this anymore. I'm removing myself from the situation. And I like that she did that. And then Sarah Jessica Parker has consistently tried to, like, you know, get her back and say things and whatever, and Kim's like, no, like, I don't like you, I don't want to spend any time with you, I'm not gonna do your show, like, it sort of sucks without me, so sorry about that, but maybe you should have been nicer to me and more considerate of what I was going through when you said all of this stuff. So I don't know, but at the same time, I haven't got to And Just Like That. Because apparently, you know, they filmed the first two movies. There was supposed to be a third movie. Due to the conflict between Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall, that didn't get filmed. Then they made this TV show. I think they thought that they could, like, woo her back, but then she didn't. So now it's just the other three women. I haven't watched that yet, so we'll see what I think about that. But I've heard from everybody that it's terrible.
Yeah.
For a number of different capacities. But I do kind of sort of feel like how, like, I understand the cash grabbiness, and also it's like, okay, well, you have three of the characters, so it can't be that bad. But it's like, in a show that feels like that the core four is so integral and you need them all, to try to make a show with only three of them, I do sort of think is laughable.
Yeah.
So,
well, and they all break off and have their own new friends. So it's like,
right.
It's interesting.
But I do love Cynthia Nixon so much, and I love Miranda, and I know that they're going to screw with her in the And Just Like That, but I am excited to watch it just because I want to watch more of her. And then I feel like I need to watch The Gilded Age, because she's also in that, and I love her.
Okay, love it or hate it. I'm trying to think of what we haven't talked about, but I did watch Am I Okay, which is the Dakota Johnson movie that came out on
Oh yeah, was that good?
Hulu? Yeah, I thought it was good. It's directed by Tig Notaro and Stephanie Allen.
I have no
idea. I don't know. But it's just about Dakota Johnson, and she's in her 30s and she realizes that she might be gay. And so she's like coming out to her best friend and realizing like she doesn't know exactly how to feel about that or what her life's like or whatever. Very cute. It turns out to be like more about this friendship and like the growing pains of this BFF and all of that. And I thought it was really sweet. The BFF is played by one of the Crazy Rich Asians actresses who I just think is a doll and a half. So I had a good time with it. I think it had a fun soundtrack. It's really quiet, really quick. It's like 80 minutes long. But I liked it. It was really sweet.
So you could watch that twice before you finished the Sex and the City movie.
Yeah, exactly. And Dakota Johnson is, you know, she's doing in her usual, her best act, which works better in this context than Madame Web. So I think it's a good look for her. She has bangs that are really enviable. And she really plays that sort of like lost yet privileged, pretty white 32-year-old woman very well.
I love that. I also love the phenomenon of like late blooming lesbians. I think that's so interesting to me, of just like the way that women are treated and raised, that they could get to like their 30s and then be like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Maybe I've actually just liked women all along.
Yeah. They're like, wait.
And it's like, I'm like, how could this possibly have taken this long to figure out? But I think it's just the difference in the way that men and women are raised and taught about their sexuality and such, because I knew very early and very instantly who I was attracted to and who I was not.
Very true. No, that's interesting. Yeah. So you should watch it and tell me if you think it's relatable for you personally.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not a lesbian, but I'll give it a try. But okay, well, speaking of relatableness, or maybe not so relatableness, depending on how much anxiety you have in your life and did as a 14-year-old, we will be discussing Inside Out 2 on our Thursday episode, which has done very well at the box office, and I think a lot of people have seen. So I'm interested to break it all down with you.
Thank you. Me too.
And then also, of course, maybe Penny has seen it?
Yes.
Oh, so we can get her take.
Look at that. Yeah, I'll have her call in.
Great. So. That's what we love. That this is how we are going to replace ourselves.
Yeah.
Just with, well, I guess your child, since we only have one currently, but we'll find another one. Okay, well, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll be back on Thursday. Bye.